Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Keith Richard, who's VP of Operations Transportation Management at Transplace. And today we're going to talk about collaboration and optimization in the oil and gas industry. If you've been watching Talking Logistics for the past few weeks and months, you'll notice that we've been doing a series of episodes focused on the oil and gas industry. And what we're really, talking about is the fact that companies in this industry are really starting to pay more attention to their supply chain and logistics processes and looking for improvements in this area. And we've kind of looked at that topic from a variety of different angles. And today we're going to look at it from the perspective of collaboration and optimization, which are kind of those two buzz terms that we hear a lot of in supply chain and logistics conversations. But really look at it from, well, what does that mean specifically for companies in the oil and gas industry? And Keith is an expert in this area, certainly has some great experience and perspective on it. So very excited to have him on the program. For those of you that are joining us live, if you do want to ask a question, certainly part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this interactive. So you can do so via the submit a question button, and I'll keep an eye on it. And there's a good and appropriate question to ask, I'll weave it into the conversation. So with that, Keith, welcome to the program.
Welcome and good morning or good afternoon, everyone.
Well, Keith, this is the first time that you're on Talking Logistics, and whenever I have a new guest on the program, I always like to kind of understand how they got involved with supply chain logistics and a little bit about their background and career path. So why don't we start with that? Tell us briefly a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved with supply chain logistics and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Transplace.
Absolutely, and thank you. Been involved in various aspects of supply chain and logistics for 30 years. Started my career in home delivery and line haul operations for Montgomery Wards, for those of us who can remember Montgomery Wards. Shortly after that, joined Sealand, which was an international shipping company, was purchased by Maersk in 1999. But with Sealand, I was primarily focused on domestic inland transportation, which is where I really cut my teeth in understanding supply chain logistics management from a domestic perspective, but worked in various aspects of their organization, from equipment control to managing their inland transportation networks. After Sealand was sold to Maersk, or acquired by Maersk in 1999, I joined Ryder in 2000, but the last 10-15 years of my career, spent the majority of my career with Ryder, supporting their dedicated contract carriage operations along with their transportation management portfolio, but most recently joined Transplace, and with Transplace, certainly involved in the non-asset-based sector as well, supporting consumer products, retail, and the oil and gas industry. But with Ryder, the last 2 years of my career were focused in the oil and gas industry and supporting 3PL and transportation management type services.
No, great, great background there. And, going back to the home delivery, that's certainly a hot space today and an area that a lot of companies, particularly retailers, are, trying to figure out and leverage as a competitive weapon. So we may have to have you back on the program, to talk about that topic in a future episode and get your thoughts on what's happening today in that area. And certainly oil and gas, as you mentioned. I mean, I think that, obviously Transplace and other 3PLs are very focused in this industry today, which is why we're kind of doing these series of episodes, because I think it is an important industry to look at, to understand, and to see where the opportunities are for companies in this industry to really move up the what I've been calling the supply chain maturity curve. And certainly that's what we've been discussing in these past few episodes, how they've been focusing more and more on kind of, companies in this industry on improving their processes. So why don't we start there? I mean, from your perspective, working with companies in the oil and gas industry, what are the main factors that are driving companies in the industry to, prioritize supply chain improvement projects?
Primarily three basic components of managing supply chain, especially in the oil and gas industry, are safety, service, and cost. And speaking to many professionals in the industry, safety is first and foremost, and then secondarily service and costs. But from a safety component, it's mitigating risk. Mitigating risk using logistics, processes, and procedures to drive a sustainable model in a very volatile industry. Because as we know, we're going through one of the valleys in the industry, but there's certainly going to be another peak. So as the industry goes through its peaks and valleys, it's utilizing logistics competencies and being able to adapt and adjust and sustain themselves through those peaks and valleys. But primarily, it's risk mitigation. So when you talk about oil and gas, in terms of logistics, it's working with companies to enable them to do what's required to help drive safety. Because safety is such a big, big part of the industry in every aspect, from construction, drilling, completions to the production phase. So developing logistics competencies helps them sustain those processes that will enable them to be successful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think from my conversations with companies in the industry as well, you know, certainly safety is one of the key things that always comes, you know, it's kind of top of mind and is something that's always incorporated into the conversations. And unfortunately, you do see some of the headlines out there, particularly in the oil with the trail derailments and things like that, that are kind of working their way into the mainstream media, if you will, into the consciousness of the general public. I think the interesting thing about this industry as well is that, you know, it's a very complex supply chain. It's different supply chains, right? Whether you're talking about upstream processes or downstream processes. I mean, in your conversations, are there equal factors that are driving, you know, companies in this industry to focus on? Is it more, are there more opportunities that, let's say, in the upstream side of the process or downstream, or are they just, you know, equally, you know, challenging, you know, for companies in the industry?
They're equally challenging in a sense that upstream is more of an immature logistics area of opportunity, whereas upstream is more of a retail structure, because you're delivering product and finished goods from a final mile perspective. So a lot of the oil and gas entries are highly, a lot of the oil and gas companies are highly decentralized in a sense that the upstream operations are separated from downstream. So as a result, downstream has, I think, created or the more mature in their logistics competencies, because they have pulled in what's considered some of the practices from other retailers, whereas upstream is somewhat untapped. And just one second, I lost my screen.
I can still see and hear you okay, Richard.
Okay. So yeah, I think they're equally as important, but just much more mature on the downstream side than the upstream side.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was yesterday or earlier this week, that was talking about how a lot of refiners are actually taking more control of the upstream supply chain, in the sense that they're investing in assets and trucks to deliver straight from the wells, straight to the refineries, bypassing the pipelines because of the blending that takes place in the pipelines and what impact that has on yields and things like that. And so I thought it was interesting, you know, even from a transportation standpoint, some of the investments that we're making just to kind of rethink their supply chains in terms of truck versus pipeline, and that what effect that's having on the refinery operations, which I thought was interesting. Again, that has ripple effects, implications for logistics service providers, for trucking companies, so on and so forth, that service that industry.
Yeah, talking about volatility in price from a midstream perspective of getting product to market is extremely important. So the industry certainly wants to take advantage of the price when they can get it at the right time. So when you talk in terms of midstream, whether it's pipeline or truck, if they see an opportunity to get product to market and get product to the refineries much quicker by using truck versus pipe versus the pipeline, they're going to do that to take advantage of the price.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. And again, compared to other industries, you know, I'm much more familiar with, let's say, CPG or retail, but it's interesting to see We talk about how dynamic the retail industry is and fast changing, but the reality is that some of those same dynamics, are occurring in the oil and gas industries or other industries that we may be, might think of having slower clock speeds, if you will, than than high tech or retail. So let's talk now about the collaboration and optimization, right? Which is kind of the lens that we wanted to kind of dive a little bit deeper on. And so you can make the argument that the path to improvement requires increased communication, collaboration, but what do those buzzwords mean, for companies in the oil and gas industry?
Well, interesting question in a sense that they're both integrated in a sense that logistics processes within oil and gas industry requires a great deal of collaboration working with the operations staff. So as we continue to build our logistics competencies for the industry, the key is to work directly with all aspects of the organization. So whether it's foremen and superintendents that are involved in a construction process of a pad site or drilling or completions, it's bringing them along through the logistics process, but also providing them with the tools, the resources, the information, and the data that will enable them to be successful. Because let's face it, things happen during the drilling process, during the production process. And when those things happen, it's important that they have the tools and the mechanisms that would allow them to be successful in their operations. So their decisions sometimes are very, very last minute that requires them to call a trucking company to expedite something to a drill site or to a well site. So as a result, it's important for us to collaborate with them and providing them what they need to be successful for something that they may consider as non-value added. Non-value added because transportation logistics has always been somewhat of an afterthought for oil and gas. So it's collaborating with them, providing them with the tools that eventually will enable us as logistics professionals to use that data, use that information for optimization, and provide them with the information that they may be able to take advantage of through vendor consolidation or shipment consolidation.
No, great points. I mean, when I think about collaboration and communication, right, that really I think both go hand in hand. It really addresses, the reality in supply chain management, regardless of, what industry you're talking about. And it's the fact that things don't always go according to plan, right? And when the exceptions occur, it's humans, it's people that have to get involved to resolve those exceptions. And the more efficient and effectively you can communicate and collaborate to figure out, how to resolve an exception, the more successful you're going to be. So, obviously I think that plays a role, here as well. And you touched upon it a little bit, but, kind of diving in a little bit deeper on collaboration. I mean, who are all the stakeholders involved in the process? Obviously, as a logistics service provider, you need to be part of that collaborative process and you need to be one of the stakeholders. But in the whole ecosystem, in your experience in working with these companies, I mean, who are the stakeholders involved and what are some of the steps that they can take to work more effectively together?
It's the superintendent, the foreman, the clerks that are out in the field making it happen every single day. Because let's face it, the oil and gas industry is a 24-hour day, 7-day a week operation. So it's the guys out on the pad sites, out on the well sites, making it happen every day. And it's going out and working with them and understanding what their pain points are. And again, not to be repetitive, but it's helping them with information, with data, but providing them the tools such as a routing guide and the right carriers. Going back to the original conversation that you and I were having related to safety, it's providing them with the safest carriers and the carriers that provide them with the best service as well. Because currently, everything is somewhat of an afterthought. It is very reactive. So we're trying to build somewhat of a model or a proactive component that will allow them to do the things that they do more successfully. So it's really going out, sitting down with them, talking to them, understanding their pain points, understanding their issues, and then giving them opportunities or solutions that could help them improve their operation.
Now, kind of having that frontline input, that frontline relationships, if you will, obviously very, very critical. What about further up the chain, if you will. When you're talking getting away from, moving beyond, let's say, operational or tactical types of decisions or support, but now dealing more with taking a perhaps a longer view strategy. Who's involved in that process, and how do you work with, folks and individuals and companies at a more strategic level in terms of thinking a little bit perhaps more broader and more longer term around their transportation and logistics strategy?
No, very good question, because it is the proverbial pyramid where you had operational, tactical, and strategic component to the business. And with oil and gas, again, what we found is the first is you have to crawl before you walk, before you run. So it's building the core competencies for the industry by focusing on the operational and tactical aspects of it. But at the end of the day, and to your point, and then evaluating strategic opportunity to drive costs out of the supply chain through planning. Because just as you mentioned a little bit earlier, and with construction, there's a build of materials. There's a build of materials for the construction industry, and there's a build of materials for oil and gas as well. So typically, the oil and gas industry has a drilling schedule that's planned 6 months or 1 year in advance. So within that schedule, for the most part, the industry understands where they're going to drill and when they're going to drill. So it's taking that plan and continuing to refine it as you get closer and closer and closer to the spud date, to the actual drilling schedule, be able to refine that schedule. And then at that point, about 80% of what the engineers develop or create can be planned, can be proactively planned. So it's working with the engineers, it's working with the logistics professionals within the industry in evaluating that plan and or build a material to then proactively start planning, executing, optimizing freight, looking for opportunities to possibly consolidate vendors to help drive costs and improve service. But again, as we talked earlier, it's about safety as well, because the faster we can get information to the carriers, the better they can plan as well to help improve their safety performance.
Great points. So kind of you touched upon optimization. That's going to be kind of my next question now, to kind of look at, that dimension. Where should oil and gas companies kind of focus their optimization efforts? I mean, in other words, where do you see, the biggest opportunities for benefits?
Really, two components. It's what you and I just discussed is the long-term strategic planning, working with their engineers, working with their senior leaders within the organization, and being at the table when they're developing their drilling schedules, when they're developing their plans, and start applying a true logistics strategy to that. So that's one component. Then the next side of it is the tactical and operational side is working with the field operations staff in developing multi-stops, developing milk runs, developing opportunities to consolidate shipments at a tactical level to deliver to the well sites. So it's a combination of both strategic and tactical.
Great. So, we kind of touched upon the people side a little bit. We talked about communication and collaboration. Along with people, there's also the role, technology can play a role here. I mean, what do you see as the role for technology as well as people? And what kind of skills and capabilities, should, the oil and gas companies need to really, achieve some of the improvements that they're going after?
Skills and capabilities are really the willingness to change and adapt technology as a part of their transportation or logistics model. Because companies that have participated or entered into this industry have considerable capabilities in providing the industry with the ability to be able to plan a shipment or plan a load, along with electronically communicating that information to a carrier, and then electronically tracking that same information to ensure that the shipments are delivered on time. But in addition, not only delivered on time, but they're delivered at the cost that was contracted by those carriers as well. So we're transitioning from a very manual environment to an electronic environment, and the value of that is really endless in being able to provide data, being able to provide information that will ultimately be able to be used for strategic type evaluation, for network analysis, again, vendor consolidation, those type of things. Because ultimately, the end state is being able to plan for every well by using data, using information to help drive a plan, a logistics plan for the industry.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned change management, and I think that's always, you know, the you know, for every company, that's always you know, one of the challenges, if you will, that they need to overcome, right? It's going from, hey, this is the way we've always done things, to recognizing that there is kind of a better way to do it, perhaps, and then how do you get that buy-in, right, to move in the direction that you need to move in to build those skills, excuse me, build those capabilities to help you get to where you want to go. And you know, so I assume that, you know, part of what you just talked about, it is potentially the role that a third party logistics provider can play in terms of supporting, you know, companies in this industry, you know, to move up that supply chain and logistics maturity curve. So, you know, what do you see as the role of a 3PL and you know, the areas that a third party logistics provider can help in?
Yeah, at some point, companies typically, the decision is, first is, do they want to create a logistics competency? You know, if the answer is yes, do they insource or outsource? And you see more and more companies outsourcing to 3PLs because it's what we do. We have the skills, we have the resources, we have the technology, so we have the people, processes, and technology to help whatever industry it is, whether it's retail, consumer products, or oil and gas, apply best practices in building a logistics competency, whether it's an order management structure, whether it's carrier contracting, whether it's procurement, whether it's optimization, freight bill audit and payment. So it's important that for the industry to realize and understand that there are processes and procedures that 3PL organizations have that can help drive value from a safety service cost perspective, and applying core competencies, applying processes, and using technology that will enable them to be successful.
No, I absolutely. I think I agree with that as well. And I think one of the interesting things that I think sometimes companies overlook with regards to 3PLs and third-party logistics providers, but though there are some that do recognize this value, is the fact that you do work with companies in other industries, right? And a lot of times, you know, there are, and I think you mentioned this, you know, there are best practices or leading practices that other industries are using that, you know, can be applied, you know, in their industry as well, right? So, you know, you only know what you know, right? If you've only been kind of focusing on the oil and gas, but one of the benefits that a third-party logistics provider is, you know, by providing that broader perspective and having that broader view in terms of what's possible and what's being done in other industries, you can see where those common threads are that can be applied, you know, perhaps in oil and gas as well. And it could be an opportunity to help educate and you know, provide some innovative ideas to companies in this industry. You agree with that?
Yeah, because if you think back 30 years ago, all of us have heard the term, most of us, the plan for every part, which the only guess in, excuse me, with the automotive industry, you know, implemented 30 years ago. And that's kind of the thought process around best practices associated with oil and gas as well. It's a plan for every well, because through the drilling schedule, there's a construction phase, drilling phase, completions phase, and then on to production. There is a build of materials. There is a plan. So it's taking that plan and applying best practices that's been used in other industries, whether it's automotive, whether it's consumer products, whether it's retail. It's applying those best practices and looking for opportunities to drive value. And value is just not cost, it's service, and again, it's safety, as we've talked earlier. So, yeah, there's so many best practices that can be used from a planning component to just the core competencies that we discussed earlier, which is simply being able to track information electronically and use that to evaluate opportunities to improve service and cost.
Great example. Thank you. You know, Keith, we're kind of running short on time here, so I'm just going to go to my last question here as kind of a way to wrap up. You know, if I'm a supply chain logistics executive at an oil and gas company, you know, what question should I ask myself to kind of determine what areas require the most attention, the most, you know, most opportunities for improvement? and help me kind of prioritize what actions I should take next.
Well, I really break it down into three areas. From a logistics standpoint, it's ongoing leadership, management, and oversight of logistics core competencies, which are carrier contracting, procurement. That's where everything starts, is vetting the carriers to ensure that the right carriers are involved with managing their business, because historically, the industries use some of the same carriers. So the question is, are those carriers, are they contracted under one tariff schedule, under one rate schedule? And then the flexibility in supporting a very dynamic expedite type operation. So the next question is, do they have the tools, do they have the resources that provides them with the flexibility that will enable them to be able to provide and maintain and sustain their operation through the peaks and valleys? And the third and absolute the most important is compliance and control. Compliance and control in managing safety service and costs and using state-of-the-art business intelligence tools and thought leadership to help them be successful. So if they can ask themselves, do they have a logistics competency that provides ongoing leadership, management, oversight, flexibility, in a very dynamic environment, and then a process or processes that a system that supports them in maintaining compliance and control.
Great, great framework there, and food for thought, Keith. I think those are spot on. And with that, you know, like I always say at the end of every episode, we always manage to scratch the surface on these topics. But you certainly provided some great perspectives and ideas and thoughts, particularly around, you know, the focus of the conversation, which was around collaboration in optimization. I'm sure we're going to have many more conversations in the months and years ahead around what's happening in the oil and gas industry. So I'm sure that we'll have the opportunity to speak again down the road. But Keith, again, thank you for making the time and being with us today.
Thank you very much as well.
And thank all of you who joined us today live. We didn't get any questions, but if you are watching this episode on demand, and you do have a question or a comment for Keith, you can find the episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post a question or a comment there. I'm sure that Keith will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So with that, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.
Thank you.